So what's up, dude? My week sucked because this week a client's, I'm not going to say what software it is, but it's a piece of crappy software for medical practice, decided to wake up and choose violence and just stop working. Yeah, the whole server just was like, screw you. The server software, and I even went to my community. And I was like, guys, what can I do to get this? The server has three pieces. It has the server software, some other piece of software that has no name. It just says LX, and then MySQL. And MySQL was not launching. And all I'd done was update this machine. Like, it's already three OSs old. It's on 12.7.2. I brought up to 12.7.4. It shouldn't have made a difference. MySQL is not launching, whatever it is. And everyone's like, here, try this, try this, try this. I tried blowing it out. I tried all these things, whatever. And it turns out that the software mounts a sparse bundle. So for those who don't know, a sparse bundle is a growable disk image on Mac. It mounts a sparse bundle, and in that sparse bundle is the data. And I opened up the sparse, and I went to a bunch of other friends. I was like, and someone's like, hey, do you have the right encryption key for the sparse bundle? I said, yeah. There we go. Go look inside of it. I go, it's not mounted. They go, it's not working. And I was like, what? And so I went into their time machine, found a sparse bundle from 3 days earlier, replaced it, which of course took 38 minutes, tried it again, and it just started magically working because apparently, despite the sparse bundle being the exact same size, all the data was like Kaiser Soze, gone. No reason, no nothing. And I was just like, you know what? They don't even use this server, which is the worst part. They're in a new EMR. This is like legacy data. And they emailed us at 9, and I couldn't resolve it until 5:30 because that server chose violence. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be like that. Don't choose violence. We all love one another. Bit an ear, an ear, and an ear.
If you're running an MSP and ever feel like you're constantly putting out fires, I've got some exciting news that could change the game for you. It's the Eureka Growth Program brought to you by Gozinta's Eureka Process, a sponsor of all things MSP. And it's specifically crafted for MSPs at every growth stage. Imagine having a C-suite of advisors right at your fingertips, guiding you through everything from hiring to handling mergers, boosting your service delivery, and even planning your exit strategy. That's what this program offers. And let me tell you, it's like having a powerhouse team behind you, making sure that you're always ready for the next big opportunity. So if you're looking to elevate your MSP game, check out the Eureka Growth Program. You can sign up for a call with the Eureka team or shoot them an email if you have questions. Go to atmsp.link/Eureka to find out more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the All Things MSP Podcast. My name is Justin Escar. With me always is my good friend, podcast producer extraordinaire, pirate, professor, Eric Anthony. What's up, dude?
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't go, you know, forward with the alliteration this week. If you want to hear, you know, our alliteration exercise.
Podcast producer, poet, proliferator of words, Mr. Eric Anthony.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today. We got a lot going on. This has been, we have to do from the group. Is that what we're doing? We didn't even decide. I just said we'll roll and we'll just go. So Eric's going to have to do more
editing. Yeah, so I'm totally not prepared. I have two for you. Mm-hmm. But give me a second because I got to pull up. I actually saved them. I bookmarked them in Facebook. So that I wouldn't be completely...
That's such a boomer sentence. I bookmarked it on Facebook.
You know what? Just...
You're not a boomer. That's the problem. It's just like a very boomerish sentence. It's very funny like that, though.
Okay. So there is... and this is the one that I would probably go with. Is what cybersecurity partners for an MSP can anyone recommend? And the interesting thing about this one is that it went in a whole bunch of different directions, but primarily the discussion was around what does that mean for an MSP? Does it mean your cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think I saw that one the other day. By the way, if you don't know, it's facebook.com/groups/allthingsMSP.
Shameless plug.
All things MSP, Justin, as I'm doing it live and it doesn't load.
Yeah, you're not in the South. It's not all things.
Guys, this is what we call a filler episode. The question about the cybersecurity thing was interesting because a lot of people were like, what do you mean by that in regards to the fact that, like, it could be taken so many different directions, right? And so I was thinking about answering that. I mean, there's 64 comments on it. It's ridiculous. Yes. What do you mean by that? Well, first off, it was by Greg Nichols. So thank you very much for being a member of the group. We love you. What do you mean, Greg? What do you mean by a cybersecurity partner, right? Because are you looking for someone to do like NIST? Are you looking for someone to do SOC and SIEM? Are you looking for someone to do MDR? Are you looking for someone to do CIS? Are you looking for someone to just, you know, write an IRP? Like, there's so many different ways. Are you looking for some dark web? So there's, and as much as we all want like that single pane of glass, my answer for this, which I did not post to the group, is Telorus or Sandler and Partners, right? Here's why. Using those companies, you have access to a plethora of other services as opposed to just going to one. Yeah, you can go into PAX 8 and call Scott Letysko, tell him I said hi, and be like, yo, Justin said I should get Blackpoint, or I heard on the All Things MSP podcast I need Sentinel One or whatever. But that may not be solving the problem that you need, right? So depending on what this person is asking for, I would say go to a company like Telorus and go to a company like Sandler Partners and become partners with them, because no matter who you use then at that point, at least you make some money on it. So yeah. I know I'm giving you a broad answer, but you gave me a broad question because like I was looking at, so like from Telorus, we found RSI, who's our quote unquote cybersecurity company. And really what they are, they do NIST assessments.
Yeah. And so there's in that big umbrella, right? I would say that you have outsourced security. So maybe hiring an MSSP, you have building your own security stack, right? You also have a compliance type of solution. You know, like one of our sponsors, Compliance Scorecard, you know, so there's a whole bunch of different ways to answer that question. And I think that the group, by the way, I think the group did a really great job of kind of going through, asking the right questions to clarify. Greg came back and answered them with really good answers. So I think that in the end, it was a really great discussion. It probably bears a larger discussion at some point. Maybe we'll bring Tim Golden from Compliance Scorecard on and we can talk about this a little bit more.
I want to bring Greg on. Greg, if you're out there, hit us up.
Yeah. By the way, we would love to have more MSPs on the show. I'm actually going to be proactively recruiting some of you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You guys know who you are. If any of you have not been on the show before and are interested in being on the show and sharing what you're doing, please, you know, and this is a place for showing people what works and what doesn't work, because we know we've all been through things that don't work. So anyway, yeah. So let's have a larger discussion around this. And then I definitely want more MSPs. I am going through the list of people that people asked for in the survey and inviting those people on as well. So anyway, we probably kind of got off topic there from the group topic. But there you go. So Greg, again, thank you for your contribution. Thank you to everybody else for commenting, and watch out, because your comment or your post may be next on From the Group.
Level up your domain security and email deliverability. Achieve peace of mind, reduce ransomware, reduce business email compromise, reduce email phishing and other attacks. Make DMARC a new revenue stream for your MSP. Becoming a managed service provider partner with EasyDMARC is an excellent opportunity for your business to boost sales and increase revenue. Your customers need DMARC. although they might not realize it yet. Your job is to let them know that their email infrastructure might be at risk of email spoofing and phishing attacks, and that you can offer them a simple solution: email authentication. Become the DMARC expert your clients need with EasyDMARC. Find out more today at atmsp.link/EasyDMARC.
Yeah, be a part of it. Join the group. Talk to us. We're here to help. All right, what are we talking about today, Eric?
Today, I really thought, because we haven't really had an episode on sales, right? We've had an episode on marketing, several episodes. We've had a lot of people on here with marketing experience and such. And had I thought about this in a little more advanced warning, I probably would have found a sales-specific guest for today. I didn't. So let's do this. Let's cover it in terms of you, me, and what we've done in sales. Because, I mean, I've seen this from a lot of different angles now. Like, I've seen it from the vendor side. I've seen it from the MSP side. And so I have a lot of opinions here.
What am I doing
as
really,
I though? Normally do. And Justin, you have a working MSP that obviously is doing sales.
So, what about working in quotes? So working. I'll also put MSP in quotes. MSP. I got it.
It's one of those Fridays.
It's one of those. We record on Fridays, folks, and it's late in the day, and it's been a week for both of us, and we're ramping up for some big stuff. So we're a little loopy today on the All Things MSP podcast. Sales. Yeah, let's talk about sales. So what I find really funny about the sales conversation is that we've had this conversation before about how a lot of MSP owners are very introverted, and yet the only way to drive more business is to do sales. You have to be able to sell your product to people. And I mean product by product. Your service is still a product, right? You need to productize your offerings and sell them to people. And so what's worked for me most, especially when I'm working on bigger deals, smaller little, you know, 5-6 person shops that are taking my pro services, which doesn't include hours, pretty easy to just be like, this is the price, take it or leave it, move on with your life. But the bigger ones that I go after, I'll tell you what's worked for me. It's a 3-step process. Okay. And I learned this from a sales coach years ago. And I still use it because it works. It's like what's that cologne that he wears in Anchorman? Like Sex Panther. He's like 60% of the time, it works 100% of the time, or something like that. It's the same thing here. So my 3-step process is one, find out what they want and don't talk numbers in your first phone call. On your second phone call, number two, oversell them the number. Sticker shock them. Oh, I just did a deal very similar to yours. You're 15 people. This deal was for 20. They had a couple other things that you're not going for, and this is what they're paying, which you know is going to be more than what your client is actually going to pay because you're doing the right numbers. And then the third phone call is when you get them with your price. Now, that's the real raw, basic premise behind this. There's a couple other pieces involved. But like that core process of like, don't talk price, oversell sticker shock, and then give them the real price, which is less than the actual price, has worked more times than not for us in terms of sales.
Yeah, and there's two specific things that I want people to take away from what you just said. Number one is keep it simple. Don't have a complex sales cycle, okay? Right. You don't have to do it exactly like Justin. That's what works for him. That's what works for, you know, consulting and managing Apple products. It might not be the same for you. But the other thing I want to dig into, because I had a light bulb moment today when I was thinking about this topic, and that is what you said earlier around productizing your offering.
Yeah.
And number one, this is important for a lot of different reasons. Number one is so that you can productize your profit as part of that. You don't want a whole bunch of different things that could affect your profit that you're just swapping in and out of whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You want a product that has predictable profit and you know what that profit target is, and you're not going to, well, I'm not going to say you're not going to go down below that profit, but you're going to have a range of profit for that product that you want to stay in. and you're not going to go below the minimum profit on that product. You know, kind of something similar to what we talked about in the pumpkin plant episode last week. But then also, productizing your offering allows you to standardize it. Okay. Now, of course, that's nothing new. Productizing your offering is nothing new. Here's the new piece. If you productize enough of it, like you have not a good, better, best, but things that match your different client sets, right? But say you get it down to two or three in terms of your, let's call that piece the managed help desk piece, right? One has a certain SLA, the other one has a better SLA, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But you've productized it so it's standardized. But you have two of them. So if you have a client that comes to you and doesn't need really an SLA, you can sell them the one for a different price. If you have a customer who comes to you with an SLA need because they have critical needs, then you have a product for them. And you can do that by having your managed help desk product, your cybersecurity product, and have a couple flavors of that. And so instead of building a custom solution for somebody, which I still think has value, but if you're trying to keep it simple, this is a good way to keep it simple and be able to manage control over it, but still offer a degree of customization for your prospective clients.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was just thinking about, I don't remember who told, maybe it was Paul Green. I was listening to him on some show and he talked about having a there's that big argument about like, do you have your prices on your website or whatever, right? And Paul was saying like, you should have it. And he was talking about the idea of having like a calculator on your website, which I think was a brilliant idea. And we've been trying to implement it, we just haven't. Mostly laziness. The idea is that like, you could have a client go to your website and be like, this is my base price. This is what you're going to pay. And then like, do you want SLA? Tick. Do you want, cybersecurity? Tick. Do you want email security? Tick. And like, there's their price, right? So you could offer that as well. Look, your sales cycle is also going to be dependent on like who you're talking to and what kind of clients you're talking to, right? And a lot of times, and especially like in the Apple side of things, the more creative people, they like to talk and they want to chat and they want to see a very pretty presentation and things like that. So like that works. I don't think the calculator concept would work necessarily for a lot of Apple consultants. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, fine. On the PC side though, if you're going to be selling pretty standardized stuff, that calculator thing could work in your benefit and you can actually walk people through it. Now, that's why we were going to do it was we were going to think about how we can walk somebody through the calculator, which then goes against my original comment of,
right,
you know, the overpriced and the underpriced, but you could still do the overprice. And then when you get to their actual price, walk them through the calculator and let them choose it on the fly. You know, this is knowing your market.
Yes.
Right. And that goes into marketing, which we're not talking about today, but like there's part of it, right? So your sales, the way you sell is going to be dependent on your target market, your demographic, your vertical. And then, but there are plenty of tools out there to do it. So you have sales techniques, you have sales tools. And we're jumping all over the place today because again, like I said, filler episode. Tools like the calculator thing or creating, you know, buy now buttons on your website, things like that. That's one thing. And then you have your processes around the other things like, you know, what I was talking about earlier about like the three steps or whatever it is. Yep. So there's a lot of different ways. I think that at the end of it, though, I don't know. The tools and the processes, again, it's the person, right? Because like, no matter what you do when you're selling something, the recipient has to trust you as the MSP, as the owner, right? If you are trying to sell somebody your services, and you're always like, well, I don't know, maybe, okay, we'll look into this and we'll do that and blah, 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 whatever. Like, you're not coming off as confident. You're not coming off as the expert. And you can't sell like that. And that's really hard, I think, for a lot of people also, is to get through that part. Like, we've talked about the fact that I'm from New York. I like mentioning it a lot. Like, I'm a New Yorker through and through. I've been an entrepreneur since I've been 5 years old. Selling is the game for me, right? Sold my way onto this show, for God's sakes. But the that ability is something that anyone can do, but you have to have the confidence to do it. Then you have the tools, which are how to sell and the actual tools that you're going to use to sell. So there's a, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, and I feel like we're going in a little bit of a circle, and I don't know how to get out of it.
That's okay. I'll get you out of it.
Save me, Eric.
Let's go back to the calculator for just a second, because I have a pro and a con for the calculator.
Go for it.
The pro is that it gives them more flexibility, and that might be what your audience wants, right? Your ideal customer profile. However, it also makes it more complex. It adds extra decisions for them to make. So decision fatigue is a thing.
Yep.
And if you have an audience or a prospect audience that is highly susceptible to decision fatigue, you don't want to introduce decision fatigue. So that would be kind of be my calculator versus not calculator kind of question for everybody, is where they're at. And I think a lot of MSPs deserve it for themselves to kind of keep it simple. Mm-hmm. The other problem with calculators is that you're asking them to pick the features. You're the expert. You should be picking the features, not them. Now, if price is an issue, you know, maybe they have to do without some things, but it's not because you didn't tell them you needed them.
Yeah. See, that, I think maybe that's another reason why we haven't done the calculator thing, because for us, we really only have two plans, right? We have your pro plan, which gets you monitoring and maintenance. You're in our MDM software and we'll push software updates. Everything else is billable. Everything is a la carte. Or you're in our, like, basically all you can eat and what comes in that, which we've laid out what's in there and we know what our COGS are, which is very important to this whole deal. And that's it. And so we listen to the client. So like that first phone call, I'm listening to the client. The one piece I didn't talk about earlier, and I apologize, the three steps is like getting the emotions out of them, because that's really important for all of this. So people buy on emotion. I don't know if you guys know this, but like you either buy out of desperate need, which is an emotion, or desperate want, which is an emotion. So if you can get people emotional about what they need, it works a lot better. Help me. We've been hacked. I'll save you. Dun, 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 dun. Like sell them on a bunch of stuff, right? Like that's emotion. So that first phone call where you're hearing everything that they're saying, tell me more. Complain to me like your mother would complain. Like just give me everything, right? You take that information because you've heard it all before, right? You're a good MSP. We don't have two-factor authentication and our insurance and our email and our this thing and like the printer doesn't work. Like we've heard it all before. Nothing. None of this stuff is new to any of us, right? But they want to feel special. They want to feel unique. They want to feel like you understand them. Be like, yeah, tell me more. Keep complaining to me. I'll take it. Give me everything. That second phone call is like, I'm going to save the day, but you're going to pay. And then third phone call is, I'm going to save the day, but you're going to pay less than I thought you were going to pay because I'm that awesome. Right? And so that methodology that we're using, we've absolved the need for the calculator. I think the calculator was just there for people who like want it. You know, you always get that. You always also get that thing that's like, hi, my boss is asking me to look around for prices on people who do consultative services. At that point, we're always like, no, the answer is no, because your boss is going on price and price alone. You don't actually need us. And if you did need us, this wouldn't be a conversation with the, you know, young intern who's like working the desk. Right.
Yep.
So that would be what the calculator is for. We would go, oh, here's our calculator. Figure it out yourself. And we would like oversell it on the calculator on purpose, right? It's also a good way to be as an intern. So that is what worked. And, but it's that confidence of it. It's that knowing your product, and you have to know your product also. That's another piece we haven't even talked about. Like know your product that you're selling, right? We talked about a couple seconds ago. I said, I know what our price point is. We know what our COGS are, cost of goods sold. That's what's going into our product. Our product is monitoring and maintenance, DNS filter, malware bytes, and email security. I know for a fact that what the cost is for my mobile device management, my MSRP or not, I'm sorry, my wholesale price on Malwarebytes, DNS Filter, and Avanon are. And I know that that number is X. And I know I'm selling, and I got my hours, my time in there. That's Y. So X plus Y. And I'm making that times 1.35. And that's what I'm selling my services at. You know, like, you have to know that stuff before you sell it. Because otherwise, you're just going to sell garbage. And you're going to get screwed because you have no idea what your prices are.
Yeah, and you just made another great argument for productization, right? And that is, you have to know your product. If you just offer a whole bunch of things that you cobble together, it's much harder for you to speak fluently about it and about the benefits of the entire package. And I just use that word very specifically, benefits, because you do not sell these services on features. You sell these services on benefits.
Yeah.
And that's where the emotion comes in again.
I think everyone should have a MDM RMM solution. You should have a email security solution. You should have some sort of backup solution or multiple backup solutions, because you're going to have an email backup. You're going to have a computer backup. You might have a server backup, right? Some sort of network security solution, whether that's DNS filtering or firewall in the cloud or whatever. Some sort of compliance and some sort of dark web scanning. I think that's your whole package. If you're missing any of those, get into that. Because a lot of people, I hear a lot of time people talk about they want to try to loop in their costs for so many other. Well, what about my PSA solution? You're not selling your PSA to your clients. That's a tool you use. That'd be like if a carpenter, you hired a general contractor to work on your house, and they're like, before you do that, you need to pay for our hammers.
Well, and that's included in your overhead line, right?
Yeah.
Because when you do the calculations on these products, they should include an overhead line, which includes, a certain percentage of your cost of doing business across the board, rent, internet, things like PSA tools, and say, my capacity right now is for 100 users or 200 users or 500 users, whatever it is, and per user, this is the cost of doing business. And that should be part of your cost of goods sold when you're figuring out the profit, the cost and the profit.
The average is one person per 200 endpoints, right? Is that what we figured out? 200, 250, something like that?
It depends on how you're doing business, okay? I've seen it as low as 150, 200, and as high as 1,000. Now,
one person doing 1,000 endpoints?
So, yes. However, it is a highly commoditized, highly automated, very low profit situation.
Well, the reason I was asking that was if you're a single person MSP and let's say the average is 250, right? Let's just use that as a number. If you can handle 250 endpoints, take whatever you're paying for your PSA and any other internal tools you have, your billing software, your form software, your video recording software to make, podcasts, or take all of that, divide that by 250, add the other costs that you have from the pieces that we talked about earlier, and that's your starting price before you add your labor on. You add those two things together, and then maybe an extra $10 or $15, maybe $20 on the end just for buffer in another direction. That's your sale price. That's why it's funny because this happened earlier. We had a client who, from one of the companies we absorbed, and I'm truing up their invoice, and they're still paying $50 a computer for pro services. And I was like, you are underpaying us drastically. And they're like, sucks for you. And I was like, it does, because I can't really do anything about that because they're in some sort of contract from the company we bought them from. Right. But the person who sold it didn't take into consideration any of this stuff, because on the $50 per computer,
right,
20 to 25 of it is being spent on services for that computer. I'm making $25 a month on this one computer when I have another client where we're billing them $250. There's the problem. There's the difference. And so, like, you forget about these things. Like, when you're trying to sell, you forget about these things. So take a half a day. Do it at night. Do it on the weekends. Or if you have a team, take a half a day and really look at your cost of goods on all your items. Open up QuickBooks. I know we all hate it. Open up QuickBooks. Pull up your P&L. And look at, you should be organizing this. Have a look at all your software lines. Figure it out, because that's how you know how to sell it. Then you can get into the emotional part, like we talked about. So much happening today. This has been a loop-de-loop. Listen, I'm sorry to everyone.
No, I think this has been it wasn't exactly what we kind of had thought we were going to talk about, because I think we've extended the conversation and talked more about the productization part of it. But I think that's good. Like, I think we took it in the right direction. And so I think when people are looking at this, especially if you are, you know, the smaller MSP, keep it simple. Have a simple sales program like Justin does. Have simple product offerings like we talked about. Modularize them so you can offer a certain degree of personalization, customization for each client, but don't go overboard, right, with a full-blown calculator. But absolutely, absolutely dial in what your cost is for those product offerings to make sure that you're operating in the profit range that you need to be in to have the business that you want.
Make that money. Make that money, honey. That's it for us. We'll do better next time.
We always say that.
I haven't in a while because we were doing pretty good for a while. But it's okay. That's Eric. I'm Justin. Follow us at youtube.com/@allthingsMSP. Follow the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/allthingsMSP. Follow us on all your favorite podcasting tools. We're now on iHeartRadio because iHeart podcasts. I think that's about it, right? All right.
It's up. Yeah.
Cool. Bye.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Facebook, but better yet, go ahead and join the Facebook group. You can also follow us on Instagram if that's your thing. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at All Things MSP to catch us in all of our video glory. And last but certainly not least, if LinkedIn is your thing, you can follow us there as well. And a special thank you to our premier sponsors, SuperOps, MoveBot, Gozinta, EasyDMark, and ComTech. And we also want to thank our vendor sponsors. The All Things MSP podcast is a BizPow LLC production.